Well, Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 12 says this, "And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." And so the one simple point, the one truth to glean from tonight is this, that gospel rootedness bears gospel fruit. Gospel rootedness bears gospel fruit. And so Matt talked with us this morning, did a great job walking us through Revelation chapter 22, the first five verses, where we saw this river of life that was flowing, as the text said, from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And one of the things he talked about was how this river was the very source of our life. And so we're going to see a river similar to that one in this text. And so Colby did a great job of reading this and really praying through this morning, kind of helping me out, even providing context for this. So a little context for Ezekiel chapter 47, the first 11 verses. So in this chapter, Ezekiel, much like John in Revelation, is going to be caught up in a vision. And in this vision, he's going to go to the temple, and he's going to see coming out of the sanctuary, really this water that's trickling. And as the chapter progresses, this trickling water is going to grow into a large, vast river. And it's going to be ankle deep and then waist deep, and eventually it will become so deep, so vast, that the only way to cross it, the text says, is to swim across. And as Colby said this morning, which I loved in the prayer, that's most rivers don't do that. That's actually impossible. That rivers would start from a mere trickle, and yet not this river. This one's unique. And so I can confidently say the mighty Mississippi to our east did not start because some guy in Minnesota didn't turn off his lawn tap. That rivers don't start that way. They don't start from a trickle or something small, but most have other tributaries and streams pouring into them. But this river in Ezekiel 47 is a little different, and it's self-expanding and it's self-growing. And not only is it self-expanding and self-growing, but it changes the very nature of that which it touches. And we see that in the text here tonight. It touches, the text says, a sea. This sea, we know, is the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea because it's so salty that it can harbor no life. Nothing lives in it. And yet when this river connects with that sea, that which was salty, the text says, now becomes fresh. That which was dead now becomes alive, as the text says, and starts to teem with life and with fish. And so this river, much like the river in Revelation 22, that there's a lot of similarities. This is the river of life, or the gospel, simply put. This is the gospel. John 19, this is as Christ is dying on the cross. It records some of the last words he said in John 19, verse 28, and says this. "And later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I'm thirsty.'" No doubt that was a physical thirst that Christ experienced on the cross, as he is literally, his life is oozing out of him. He's bleeding profusely, and clearly he was physically dehydrated. And yet this thirst that scripture's alluding to, that Christ is fulfilling, is not merely a physical thirst, but is a spiritual one, that on the cross, Christ became spiritually thirsty. In Revelation chapter 21, so the chapter before what Matt talked about, verse 5 says this, "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" And then a few verses down, "To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." And church, that's the gospel. That Jesus Christ on the cross took on the spiritual thirst that we deserved so that we could drink of this water of life. That Christ paid the price by his life, paid the price we deserve to pay so that we could drink of this river freely and live. And this is the gospel. This is the gospel message. And scripture says that if we humbly come to him and confess and repent of our sins, we too can drink of this gospel river and be transformed. And be changed. And that's what's going on here in verse 12 of Ezekiel 47. It talks about trees that bear all kinds of food or fruit every month. Normal trees don't do that. They are not bearing fruit continually, but these trees are. It says, normal trees, that their leaves would wilt or wither, but not these trees. They do not wilt or wither. As a matter of fact, these leaves are used for healing. And it's not because there's anything special about these trees, but it's as the text tells us in verse 12, it's because of the water that flows from the sanctuary. And it's because these trees are rooted in nature-changing gospel that they bear fruit. And it's so, the point again tonight is that our gospel rootedness bears gospel fruit to the extent that we delight in the word of the Lord, that we delight in the gospel, we too will, like Psalm 1, bear fruit and our leaves will not wither. We'll be changed. And as we trust in Christ, there will be fruit that pops up, that emerges. And it's inevitable that this should be the case. As a matter of fact, one cannot be a Christian and have no fruit. True faith inevitably bears true fruit. Or to say that another way, the absence of fruit really indicates the absence of faith. That all Christians yield some measure of gospel fruit. And that's not to say that we have that in totality, but praise God, one day we will bear the image of the man of heaven, that we will. But if we are a believer, we will bear gospel fruit. And so a simple question to pose tonight, are you bearing gospel fruit? And this fruit of the gospel should be visible. It should be measurable. We should be able to mark this gospel fruit. And so that's the question. Can you mark the gospel fruit in your life? Are you growing in the fruits of the Spirit? If you are drinking from this nature-changing river, your nature should change. As you look at the love of God through Christ in the gospel, does that make you more loving? As you look at the Lord's patience and long-suffering for you, a sinner, does that make you more patient? As the Lord was relentlessly kind in his pursuit to you, are you more kind? And we could keep going. But are you growing in the fruits of the Spirit? Has your nature changed? And this fruit is not to be confused merely with gifts. Oftentimes we mistake giftedness for godliness. But what Jesus would say is, no, you will know them not by their gifts, but by their fruit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says that if you have the gift to speak in the tongues of men, and even speak in the tongues of angels, and yet do not bear the gospel fruit of love, he says, you profit nothing. And so are we bearing gospel fruit? This is Colossians 1:10. Are you bearing fruit of every good work? Not only has your nature changed, but that nature should cause you to work and do things, to do and care about gospel-minded work. This is what Matt was talking about this morning, that we here as a church, as UBC, can be a part of sending money and time and energy and resources to bless the nations, to bless this body, and to bless others locally. Are we doing good works? Or as Paul says in Titus 3:14, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help the cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. That we would be fruitful in good works because of this gospel. And so the simple encouragement from the text tonight would be to mark the fruit of the gospel. And if you can do that and you can see that, then praise God. Glorify God. Because it's, as Scripture says, it's the Lord who provides the growth. But maybe you're here and cannot mark that gospel fruit. Well, to that I would say, then turn to Christ. Go to him. Repent, confess, trust in Christ, and drink, you who are thirsty, and be changed. That's the gospel. Or maybe you would profess the gospel, and there is no, you're stagnant. And the encouragement would be to get those roots down in the gospel river and not in the stagnant pools of the world, this living, flowing river of the gospel. Get into that. Bear fruit. And all of this should, praise God, glorify him. Because it's as the text says, it's from the sanctuary. It's from him. To him be the glory for this fruit. And so gospel rootedness bears gospel fruit, that all true faith will yield true fruit. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for the gospel, for the river of life. Father, we confess that we as a people often have forsaken you, the fountain of living waters, to dig our own cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. And yet, Father, you in your mercy sent your Son who took the thirst that we deserve so that we could go to this river and drink. Father, we praise you for that reality. Lord, we ask that we as a church, as we bear this gospel fruit, that we at UBC would put you on display, that your love, your patience, your kindness, your meekness to us, Lord, that we would put that on display to this world that is thirsty. And be glorified in our church, be glorified in us, and it's your son's precious name we pray. Amen.